I was in the bathroom when my phone buzzed. Music was shaking the walls. Someone was laughing outside the door. I thought it was a text asking where I was. Instead, it was a message about me. Not to me, about me. Sent to me by mistake. I read it once, then again. It didn't sound angry, it sounded casual, familiar, like this had been said before. I locked the stall, even though no one was trying to come in. My hands went cold. I noticed the crack in the mirror. I noticed my breathing. She was still out there, smiling, hosting, moving through the room like everything was normal. I realized she had already decided who I was in her story. I didn't reply. I didn't screenshot it. I didn't delete it either. Someone knocked and asked if I was okay. I said yes, even though I hadn't tested that yet. When I walked back into the party, she looked at me. And for the first time, I knew I was being watched. Chapter 1, Pressure. I stayed at the party longer than I needed to. I told myself it was because I didn't want to be dramatic. Really, I was waiting to see if anything would change. I kept the phone in my pocket. I could feel it there. Every time it shifted, my body reacted like it might buzz again. She moved through the apartment like she owned the night. People leaned toward her. They laughed fast and loud. She touched arms when she talked. She remembered names. When she came near me, she hugged me the same way she always did. Quick, tight, one hand already pulling away. "You good?" she asked. I said yes. It came out automatic. I didn't check in with myself first. She nodded, like that answer confirmed something. Then she turned back to the group without waiting for more. That was when I realized how often that happened. Not just tonight, before too. I was the pause. She was the momentum. I found a spot near the kitchen counter. Someone handed me a drink I didn't ask for. I held it without sipping. I watched her talk about her promotion. I had known about it already. She told me days ago. She had waited until now to say it like this. People congratulated her. She smiled, but it didn't soften her face. Someone asked what I was working on. She answered before I could. "She's still figuring it out," she said. Her tone was light, helpful, final. I smiled. I didn't correct her. That was the pattern. She spoke first. I adjusted after. I used to think it was because she was confident. I used to admire that. When something good happened to me, I always practiced how to tell her. I never realized I was doing it until that night. I would shorten the story, lower my voice, add a problem so it didn't sound like a win. She would listen with her head tilted. She always nodded slowly, like she was calculating. Sometimes she changed the subject. Sometimes she found a way to relate it back to herself. I told myself that was normal. Friends do that. But standing there, watching her soak up attention, I felt the imbalance. It wasn't sudden. It was familiar. Someone bumped into me and apologized. I said it was fine, even though my drink spilled onto my hand. I went to the sink and rinsed it off. The water was cold. I kept it running longer than necessary. I remembered the first time I felt smaller around her. Not when we met, later. It was after I told her about an opportunity I hadn't even accepted yet. She had gone quiet. Then she said, "Just make sure you're ready for that level." I had nodded like she was protecting me. I didn't realize then that she was setting a ceiling. At the party, she laughed again. Someone asked how long we'd known each other. "A while," she said. She didn't look at me when she answered. I felt myself fading in the room, not invisible, something worse. Defined, I checked my phone again, even though I knew nothing new was there. The message still existed. So did the version of me inside it. I wondered how many times she had talked about me like that. How many rooms I had never been in. I wondered if I had ever done the same to her. The thought made me uncomfortable. I didn't hate her. That was the problem. I still wanted her approval. I still felt loyal. When she came back over, she leaned close and said, "You're quiet tonight." I shrugged. "I'm just tired." She smiled, but it didn't reach her eyes. "Don't be weird," she said. It sounded like a joke. Didn't feel like one. I thought about the message again. Not the words, the ease of them. She hadn't been angry when she wrote it. She had been relaxed. That meant this version of me was settled. Permanent. I moved to the balcony to get air. The city was loud below us, sirens, engines, voices. I leaned against the railing and tried to breathe normally. I noticed how my shoulders stayed tight, even when I exhaled. I thought about how often I made myself smaller to keep the peace, how I avoided mentioning things she might compete with. I told myself I was being considerate, but standing there I felt the cost. She joined me outside. She stood beside me, close enough to claim space. "You disappeared," she said. "I was right there." She laughed. "You know what I mean." I didn't respond. Silence stretched between us. She checked her phone. Then she looked back at me. "You coming to my thing next week, right?" she asked. The invitation sounded like an expectation, like a test. I hesitated just long enough for her to notice. She raised an eyebrow. "Why wouldn't you?" I opened my mouth, closed it again. I realized in that moment that saying yes meant agreeing to stay where I was. Saying no meant something would break. I didn't answer right away. The city kept moving below us. She waited, not patiently. That was when I understood the pressure I'd been carrying. Not to succeed, to stay in my place. I looked at her. She was smiling, but it felt strategic. I knew whatever I said next would change things. Chapter 2 break. I said I would come. The word yes left my mouth before I decided it. Her face relaxed. That told me more than her smile ever had. The night moved on after that. People drifted, music changed, glasses emptied. I stayed until it felt polite to leave. I hugged her goodbye. It felt practiced. Outside, the air was colder. I walked 3 blocks before I realized my jaw hurt from clenching. The days between the party and her event moved slowly. I replayed moments I had already lived through. I started noticing patterns I used to ignore. She texted me reminders, not questions, reminders. "You're coming early, right? I'll need you near me. Wear something clean, not flashy." I stared at the last message longer than the others. I told myself she meant well. The day of her event, I changed outfits twice. Nothing felt neutral enough. When I arrived, she was already surrounded. She spotted me and waved me over with 2 fingers. "You made it," she said, like there had ever been another option. She placed me where she wanted me, not beside her, slightly behind. I became useful fast, holding bags, fetching drinks, listening. People mistook me for her assistant. She didn't correct them. I laughed when someone asked if I worked for her. She laughed too. I felt the old instinct kick in. Don't make it awkward. Don't interrupt the flow. At one point, someone asked about my work. I started to answer. She cut in. "She's helping me with this right now," she said. It sounded generous. It wasn't. I stopped talking. No one noticed. Later, she pulled me aside. Her voice dropped. "Just stay close today," she said. "I don't need distractions." I nodded. My body responded before my thoughts did. As the room filled, I felt myself disappearing again. I watched her accept praise. I watched her glow. I thought about the message from the party. I wondered if she had ever spoken about me kindly when I wasn't there. Near the end of the night, someone congratulated her and asked how she did it. She smiled and said, "I just stay focused." Then she added, "Not everyone can handle this level." She glanced at me when she said it. Just long enough. A few people laughed. I didn't. Something in me shifted. Not anger, clarity. I realized I had been cast in a role without agreeing to it. Supportive, quiet. I felt heat rise in my chest. I swallowed it. After, when the crowd thinned, she seemed lighter. "Relax, you were great today," she said, like I had performed. I waited for a thank you. It didn't come. Instead, she added, "You know I push you because I care." I didn't respond. I didn't trust my voice. She noticed. Her expression changed. "What?" she asked. There was an edge now. I told her I was tired. It was easier than the truth. She sighed. "Don't do this tonight." "Do what?" "Feel something. Notice." On the ride home, my phone buzzed. A notification from someone I barely knew. They had tagged me in a photo. I was in the background, holding a bag. The caption praised her. I wasn't mentioned. I stared at the image until my eyes hurt. Then I turned the phone face down. The next morning, she texted like nothing had happened. A meme, a joke. I didn't reply right away. That was new. Hours passed. Then another message. "You okay?" I typed, deleted, typed again. I finally wrote, "I need space." The typing bubble appeared immediately, then disappeared, then appeared again. "What does that mean?" she asked. I didn't answer. I didn't owe an explanation. The silence stretched into days. I felt lighter and more tense at the same time. I replayed her words, her looks, her pauses. I wondered how much of myself I had given away to keep her comfortable. When she finally called, I let it ring. Then I answered. Her voice was sharp. "Why are you acting like this?" I told her I felt minimized. It came out plain. She laughed. "That's in your head." Something in me closed. A door I hadn't known was there. She kept talking, explaining, correcting. I stopped listening. She said, "I've always supported you. I thought of all the times I'd swallowed good news." She said, "You're being sensitive." I thought of the message she never meant to send me. She said, "Don't make this bigger than it is." I realized it had always been this big. I told her I couldn't keep pretending. The line went quiet. Then she said, "So you're really doing this?" I didn't answer right away. I didn't need to. I hung up. I stared at my phone afterward. My hands were steady. I knew the silence would speak for me now. Chapter 3 After. The first week without her felt unreal. Not painful, not peaceful, just quiet in a way I wasn't used to. I reached for my phone without thinking. Every time something happened, my thumb went to her name. Then it stopped halfway. I noticed how automatic that habit had been. Like muscle memory, I didn't tell anyone right away. Not because I was protecting her, because I didn't know how to explain the absence. There was no fight to summarize, no clean ending. When people asked where she was, I said she was busy. That was easier than saying we were over without ever saying goodbye. Days passed, then more. I started noticing how much space opened up in my head. Not relief, room. I realized how often I had been monitoring myself. Choosing words, adjusting tone. Without her, I spoke more slowly. I didn't rush to explain. When something good happened, I told the story straight. No apology, no softening. The first time I did that, I waited for the familiar tightening in my chest. It didn't come. I still thought about her. Not with anger, with a strange curiosity. I wondered when she would reach out again. I wondered if she already had and decided not to. Part of me wanted her to notice my absence. Another part hoped she wouldn't. I replayed our last call more than I wanted to admit. Not what I said, what I didn't. I didn't accuse her. I didn't list examples. I didn't defend myself. I just stopped participating. That felt unfinished, but also honest. I started paying attention to my body, how it reacted to certain memories. I noticed how my shoulders used to tense before seeing her name pop up, how my stomach would drop before answering her questions. I had called it excitement. I hadn't known it was anticipation mixed with fear. Without that, my days felt flatter, but steadier. There were moments I missed her laugh, the version of it that felt real, the one from before everything turned into comparison. I missed having someone who knew my history without explanation. I didn't miss the constant measuring. I wondered if she thought I was jealous. If she told people, I couldn't handle her success. I had no control over that. That realization settled slowly. One afternoon, I ran into someone we both knew. They asked how she was. I said I wasn't sure. It felt strange to say the truth. They nodded like they already knew something. They didn't ask more. That stayed with me. I began to see how often I had defended her in rooms she wasn't in. How often I had translated her behavior into something softer. Without me doing that, I wondered what people saw. I didn't feel proud. I felt tired. Some nights, I drafted messages I never sent, not confrontations, clarifications. I wanted to explain myself clearly. I wanted to be understood. Then I realized I didn't need her to understand for it to be real. That took time. I still checked her social media sometimes. Not obsessively, quietly. She was still winning, still surrounded. She looked happy. That surprised me more than it should have. I thought about the version of me she described in that message. The one I hadn't known existed. I asked myself if any part of it was true. That question was harder than I expected. I found pieces, insecurities I had ignored, moments where I had stayed silent instead of speaking up. But I didn't find the whole picture she painted. That mattered. I started trusting myself faster. Not perfectly, but sooner. When someone interrupted me, I finished my sentence. When a joke landed wrong, I didn't laugh it off. Those were small changes. They felt big. I didn't replace her. I didn't rush into another closeness. I paid attention to how people made me feel before deciding who to trust. That was new. Sometimes I wondered if she ever reread that message, if she remembered sending it. I wondered if she knew that was the moment everything shifted, or if she thought the friendship faded for no reason. There was no final conversation to anchor the ending. No shared understanding. That used to bother me. Now it just existed. One night, I was out with friends. Someone asked what I'd been working on. I answered honestly, fully. I didn't check anyone's face for a reaction. I didn't shrink the story. Afterward, I realized I hadn't thought about her once during that conversation. That felt important. Later, alone, the thought returned. but it didn't sting. It felt like touching an old bruise, and noticing it no longer hurt the same way. I still don't know what story she tells about me. I may never. I know the one I tell myself has changed. I pause less before sharing joy now, and when I catch myself hesitating, I stop.